Good morning again, everyone. Now, the passage has been given to me from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38 to 42. And we already, like Joe read, and we already heard, but I like to read again. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Last few months, we are going through this series, and particularly Sermon on Mount. And this teaching of Jesus is very radical teaching. Why I say radical? Because when we see world, and right now we are living in the world where even the Christianity is, I would say, comfortable, cultural, and convenient. And that's why it's very important that we try to grasp the truth in the Word of God. What Jesus exactly is saying. And I think a few weeks back when I preached, and I mentioned in that sermon also that the Sermon on Mount was affected many people throughout the world, including even non-Christians. And many of them actually followed the teaching of Christ. But sadly, they did not accept Christ as their Savior. Particularly in this passage, Jesus actually starts with Old Testament reference. And we already, like you already read for us, Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17 to 22. So Jesus began characteristic by presenting the traditional Old Testament teaching. You have heard that it was say, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. That is an exact quotation from three Old Testament passages. One reference is Exodus 21, verse 24. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 20, and then Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21. Now, this particular passage represents the oldest law in the world, the law of retaliation, technically known as lex means law, and talionios means retaliation. The earlier reference to Lex Talionios comes from the code of Hammurabi in the second millennium. Now, what I'm sharing, because then we can understand what Jesus is saying. We need to understand the context. It is the longest, best organized, and best preserved legal text from the ancient Near East. Today, we recognize Lex Talionios as foundational to all justice. The whole system of civil, penal, and international law is based on the idea of reparation and equity that has its roots in Lex Talionios. Lex Talionios was given to the judges of Israel as a basis for adjudication. As Deuteronomy chapter 19, if you read verse 16 to 21, makes so clear. Now, what we need to understand, when God gave them this law through Moses, God did not ask that, like someone is basically taking the eye, then you take that person's eye. But we need to understand the heart of the law. Individuals were not permitted to use this law to settle dispute with others Only the courts were permitted to do so. Now, all the laws in the Old Testament represent God's righteousness, God's standard, how the people of God should live. It was especially good because it allowed for fairness in the administration of justice and it restrained man's sinful nature. Now, if you remember the story in Genesis 34, that Jacob's daughter, Dinah, she was basically one way raped by the Hivite, right? Now, what Jacob's other son did? When Jacob's other son heard about this, instead of taking the culprit to court, seeking an equal punishment, they killed all the men from the culprit's village. That is our condition. Jesus is teaching here actually, or addressing the issue, what is in our heart. You may agree or may not agree, but this is the fundamental biblical truth. And that's why sometimes people identify or describe this is Calvinism and this is something. But we need to understand, even when Calvin described about the original sin, the effect of original sin is on whole human race. Whether you're born in a Christian, born as a Muslim, born as a Hindu, doesn't matter. We born with a sinful nature. Why we are sinners? Not because we sin, but we sin because we are sinner. So Jesus is addressing a very interesting, actually, issue, which is in our heart. Now, Jacob's sons actually took much more than eye for an eye. Blood feuds like this were common in the ancient world. Therefore, God's law restrained sin. Jesus teaches that his people should not be known for insisting on their appropriate punishment. They must be ready to forgo personal revenge. And then Jesus continued in verse 39. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. That's the first part. When Jesus says that do not resist the evildoer, sometimes we think that no, we completely avoid. No, Jesus is not saying that. We need to actually take other scripture also in the picture. So particularly this verse 39a cannot be interpreted as an absolute prohibition of the use of all force, such as the police and court system, unless the Bible contradicts itself. Romans chapter 13 verse 1 to 7 teaches that the state is a divine institution that has the power to punish wrongdoers. And this is sometimes impossible without force. The problem comes when we isolate and absolutize Jesus' words without giving due attention to the context, the flow of the argument, and the specific social implications of the time. We need to bring that culture where Jesus was, right, 2,000 years back. We need to understand the context also. Jesus clarified what he meant by providing four one-sentence illustration of what it means to not resist an evil person. So rest of that passage, actually, Jesus explaining when Jesus said, do not resist the evildoer. It's not just in a literal meaning Jesus is saying to us. Each of the illustrations is culturally specific, but they give us the truth that we could apply in our life today and reflect God's character. Now listen, this principle, yes, one way applied to everyone, but Jesus was teaching to his disciple. So we need to understand that this is for us, that who follow Christ and who are truly a born-again Christian. Now the first illustration is verse 39 and second part. If someone strike you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I think if we even read this one immediately, we say it's not relevant today. We are living in a 21st century digital world, not practical. And I came across many people discussing about this particular verse, and immediately they said, it doesn't apply today. My main confusion or concern that if we say certain part of the Bible doesn't apply, immediately we are saying that the scripture is insufficient or not perfect. But as a Protestant Christian, we believe in five solas. And one is sola scriptura. The scripture is authority or final authority. Everything is applicable all the time. Any generation, any situation, right? The word of God is the light and the lamp, right? What is Jesus describing here? Contrary to what we might think, he is not describing a physical attack, but rather a very traditional, calculated insult. Notice that Jesus specifically mentioned the right cheek, which tells us he is describing a backhanded slap. According to rabbinic law, to hit someone with the back of the hand was twice as insulting as hitting him with the flat of the hand. That was the law, actually. That was the understanding. The back of the hand meant calculated contempt, withering disdain. It meant that you were scorned as that person, that he is completely nothing, no value. Imagine how you would respond. I think I would respond immediately, the bank. That is, right? And that's why the title of my sermon is Radical Response. Not only was it a calculated insult, but it was here as the great German scholar, whose name is Jeremias, argues a slap given because of Jesus, a heretic slap. If you are a follower of Christ, you are a believer, you are a disciple of Christ, expect all kind of persecution. Sometimes we talk about about the demonic power and so many, and there is demonic power in this world. But we are forgetting also that we have a battle, two types of battles. One is called external battle, another battle is the inward battle. Right? Within us also, we still have that sinful nature, that old nature. Right? How we react to other, right? How we respond, what we say to other people. Terrorists actually killing some people, but every day we kill many people by saying things or reacting or having bitterness inside, right? And God is actually not interested in our ministry and many other things. God is interested in our character. And that is it. And I and you cannot actually build that character by doing many things. That's why Jesus said it, one of the particular passage in Gospels, that when he would come, many would come and say, God, I have done such and such, such and such. And then God, and Jesus said, I would tell them, I do not know you. The reason? Their heart were not right before God. This is exactly what Jesus is addressing here. When Jesus spoke of being slapped on the right cheek, he was describing an insult that comes because of one's faith. It was an insult for which a Jew could seek legal satisfaction according to the law of Lex Talionis. That is, he could seek damages, but Jesus said, do not do it. If you are dishonored as a heretic, says Jesus, you should not go to the law about it. Rather, you should show yourselves to be truly my disciple by the way in which you bear the hatred and the insult. Overcome the evil, forgive, and lovingly absorb the insult, like Jesus. In the letter of Peter, he described about the Jesus' reaction and response. When people insulted him, he did not actually insult others. He bare everything. One of the passages says he was completely calm, carrying our sins upon him, did not react. And on the cross he said, Father, forgive them. My brothers and sisters, today the world is confused because we as Christians are not really light and salt. How many court cases today actually, right? I came from India, you know me, and Jyoti and two children. Today churches in India actually, I would say, dead, most of the churches. One of the judges said a few years back in the Supreme Court, in High Court, right, of Gujarat, that you Christian talk about the peace, you talk about the love, but what I see in my court, that you are fighting, that is the testimony. Even in this country also, there are many things, even among Presbyterians. I'm sorry. Why we can't forgive? We all want vertical forgiveness, because until that we get that vertical forgiveness, we know that we would end up in hell. So we all want, that's good. But when it comes to the horizontal forgiveness, no, but I can't. It doesn't work that way. Jesus calls us to swallow our pride and give up our rights to reparation and fairness. That is the basic, essential interpretation. In effect, Jesus asks us, in turning the other cheek, to make the other person and his or her well-being the center of our focus. Not us. Because when someone slapped us and we offer another one, what we are seeing actually offering us like a sacrifice. And telling that person, you are the valuable for me, not myself. I'm putting you before me. That's what Jesus actually is saying. One of the evangelists, his name is Tom Skinner, often told about the time after he was converted when he was playing football with some of the members in that team. And some of the members actually formerly part of his gang, which he was basically led that gang. And because when he converted, what happened? That some of the members punched, kicked, and insulted him. But what Tom said after he got insulted, when he got insulted? Because of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I love you. That is exactly what Jesus was talking about. Jesus taught us how a righteous person should respond a personal wrong. This first illustration shows us how to respond to personal hurt and insult. That is a radical response. Completely opposite to the world. That is what we Christians should do. And then he goes, the second, let's say verse 40. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. This is, again, we need to understand the cultural context. It was impossible in the time of Jesus, right, to sue others for the very shirt on their backs. However, no one could take another's cloak for a permanent 24-hour-a-day possession. So even if you lost your shirt in court and your opponent asked for your cloak and won it, he had to return it every evening for you to sleep in. And this was the law. Exodus chapter 22, verse 26 and 27. That was the law given to them, that you cannot keep the cloak. You need to give back in the evening. What was the situation here? Jesus was giving advice to poor among his followers, those who had been reduced to the garments on their backs because of the persecution for their faith. His teaching is simply this: as they sue you, maybe falsely, right, for your shirt and win it, give them your cloak too, even though they cannot legally take it. This is supremely radical, and it is meant to point one's persecutors to Christ. So if I and you want to win the people for Christ, we need to reflect Christ in our life. It's good to know a lot of stuff, but it's very hard to practice. In John chapter 13, Jesus said that whoever has my commandments and the one who really obey, he's the one who loves me. So by our life, actually, we show God that I love you. It's good to say, God, I love you. Nothing wrong in that one. But our life is not actually according to his word, and we are not really following, then I think we need to examine our life. When Jesus called his disciple, he just said one word only: follow me. That follow me does not mean actually just living and just actually going with him. No. Following basically imitator. Right? Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, be imitator of God. We need to reflect Christ. World is desperate right now. In Romans chapter 12 verse 17 to 21, the same call and the effect of his, what Paul says. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the sight of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the radical call of those who are suffering persecution for Christ. It is extreme advice for extreme circumstances. Now, sometimes we think that I don't have enemy because I describe enemy that someone really hate us, or someone basically try to hurt us, or maybe try to maybe hit us, whatever way, right? But I think we need to really put our hand on our heart and examine that people, those who are not in our good book, they are really actually our enemy. We don't express that hatred, right? But inside we know that I don't like that person. That is basically one kind of enemy. Because God commanded us to love one another. Opposite of love, actually, hatred. There is no gray area, there is no middle ground. Either you love or you hate. But we try to actually bring that gray area. No, I love. But inside we know that I don't like. That is hatred. So Jesus actually teaching this morning a radical response. And then further, verse 41, he says, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. That indignity that Jesus described here had its origin with the Persians. And the Greek word translated forces is of the Persian origin. And there was some kind of actually, they had a system there. And that system, Romans, they also adapted. Now, when Jesus was actually on this earth, we know that Roman, they were governing, right? They were in the power, and Jews didn't like. So what they were doing actually to Jews, whenever a Roman official or soldier asked anyone within the empire to carry a burden a mile, that person had to do it regardless of who he was or what the situation were. That is like basically, it's compulsory. If you like or if you don't like. Almost all Jews had been subject to this and they hated the very thing. Completely hate. Now what Jesus is actually telling us, if someone forces you to go 1 mile and you don't like, Jesus was telling us here, willingly, with cheerfulness, that you should go 2 miles. If you read, actually it says particularly, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. 1 mile was like a custom that Romans can actually force you and you cannot deny. It was a rule. But what Jesus is saying, that because of their rule, they force you, right? So you have to accept, you can't deny. But you offer yourself, go with them 2 miles. And what was happening there, Roman soldier actually give you all their stuff. Heavy stuff, whatever they had, they put you on your shoulder, right? And you need to carry with them for 1 mile. But Jesus said, no, you go 2 miles and then you come back again, right? Where you were first. So you can imagine what Jesus is telling us. And Luke actually refer to this kind of persecution when he said, but love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Jesus basically means that righteous are to give to those who are attempting to hurt them. So we need to, this is again radical. And one of the commentators says, revolutionary righteous people. Why I use the word revolutionary? Because God brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the light. It's two complete different kingdom. Right? And it's not your doing or my doing. It is the grace of God in faith alone and Christ alone. So we need to reflect the character of his kingdom. And that's why it is revolutionary. Revolutionary, righteous people possessing revolutionary joy, even when treated unfairly, call everyone's hearts upward. So when people treat us like this world, we would be looking at Christ, right, who is in the heaven. And all of you remember what Luke recorded in Acts chapter 7 when people were stoning Stephen, His face was shining. He was full of joy. But where Stephen was looking? Insult? Stone? People? No. He was looking at Christ. And Luke recorded that Stephen saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the God. And that is something I think God is speaking to us. And then verse 42, Jesus continued, the fourth illustration. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now Jesus is basically talking here something beautiful as well as radical. Borrowing does not mean that whoever asks can we just give. But what Jesus is saying that we should be generous. Jesus is not recommending that his followers give to every open hand, though of course he calls us all to deep generosity. He means that the righteous are to give to those who are attempting to hurt them through borrowing. And that's something we should continually offer ourselves. Why we need to be generous? Because God is generous. We all, and it's good to actually take Christ in our life. But we should not forget that God gave us as a gift, right? Generously. We don't deserve. And that's why it is a gift. So the character of God is so generous. Even in our life, actually, we don't deserve many things. But we are so much blessed in this country. I was telling Jyoti yesterday that, Jyoti, we need to keep thanking God, even though I know there are a lot of challenges, right? Physical challenges, sometimes mental challenges, spiritual challenges. When we look at the world today, actually, how many people without actually shelter, how many refugees? United Nations, the most really challenging things is right now is the refugee in the world. They are struggling. I and Michael went to Ethiopia in 2019. We went to Gambela. And personally, very honestly, both of us literally cried. Because we saw the condition, right, that only once a month they get the food. And the big bag, they need to carry on their shoulder sometimes 5 miles, 10 miles. And their house actually very small hut, that you can't even go inside. You need to bend down to go inside. I could not believe. But we are blessed here. And still sometimes we grumble. My encouragement to, I'm not want to condemn or rebuke or anything, but I want to encourage that God is speaking to us. World is looking at us. We should reflect God's character. Radical response. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, very famous theologian, pastor of Westminster Chapel in London. His wife, Bethan, tells the story of the remarkable conversion of a man named Mark Macon. Macon was the meanest man in that town. And this man always loved to fight. And what he does actually, he always actually keep two friends with him whenever he goes out. Because he's such an angry person that if someone hurt him, he tried to kill. So his friend always help him not to do that, to restrain him. One time, what happened, his wife actually cooked dinner and they had a dog. And dog actually came into the kitchen and spoiled the food. What he did, no? He cut actually. He killed the dog and cut his head. But In his life, he met Jesus. He was not actually very literate. But Martin Lord John's wife, Bethan, says, when he actually met Jesus and read the Bible, he wept. And he kissed the name written there, Jesus. He was completely changed, radical change. The person who was very hateful person, angry person, but he changed, became so loving. Jesus is asking in this passage, radical response. If someone asks us, and they want to borrow, we should cheerfully, generously share our whatever God has given to us. How could we do this? This is sometimes looks like it's very impossible. I know we all struggle. First, definitely, until we are born again. Born again is not something, it's basically taking baptism or becoming the member of the church and became a Christian, no. Born again is basically when God created heavens and earth. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit involved in whole creation. That's exactly happened in this world. When God gave grace to someone, and Holy Spirit regenerate that person, and the person became born again, God the Father elect, God the Son justified, and God the Holy Spirit regenerate. It's completely new creation. And then what happened? Ephesians chapter 1, the Holy Spirit actually comes and lives. Third person of Trinity. And the Spirit throughout our life sanctifies us. Spirit is our helper. Help us in our weaknesses. But what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, he says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him, rooted and built up in him. Until we are rooted in Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 8, right? Sorry, John chapter 15. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. You cannot do anything apart from me. We cannot. How could we be rooted in Christ and abide? God has given us this word, right? We need to read, we need to meditate, we need to grasp it, right? We need to chew, literally, because this is the word of God. It's not simply a Christian book. And when we read, we meditate, God speaks to us through his word, and then Holy Spirit help us to understand. He minister to us. He enable us, he empower us to the things which Jesus is asking us to give that radical response. We cannot do it. Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks that since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. The Word of God and the Spirit of God always goes together. Sometimes some churches overemphasize on the Word, some churches overemphasize on the Spirit. But the Word of God and the Spirit of God always goes together. What happened in Acts chapter 1? Jesus said, wait until you are clothed. The word clothed basically that you are completely covered by the Holy Spirit. And when they are covered by the Holy Spirit, the timid person, right, the Peter who denied Jesus, he boldly, courageously spoke. Right, and the 3,000 people added in the church. We need that today. And when he preached, completely illiterate person, he preached so powerfully that he used the prophecy of Joel from Old Testament to New Testament, because Jesus taught them. So my prayer is this morning that God may actually equip us in his word, empower us with his Holy Spirit, that we may be able to respond and show this world that radical response, that we are true believers of Christ. Amen. Let's pray.